My name is Sunny Miller. I'm the director at Trap Rock Peace Center in Deerfield, Massachusetts, and I'm delighted to have on the telephone with us Harold Hubschman, a political consultant specializing in running ballot initiatives and organizing them. Harold, you've been helpful to neighbors in your town of Brookline at Brookline Peace Works and Trap Rock Peace Center as we submitted a ballot initiative in Massachusetts. I'm so excited that you've turned that in to the Attorney General. Can you tell us about the ballot initiative that you've submitted for us?
Sure. First of all, thank you for interviewing me and publicizing this issue. Let me just begin by reading the text of the initiative. It's one sentence long, and it will demonstrate immediately what it is this campaign is going to do. The initiative is called An Act to Bring Our Troops Home. And the law that we are trying to pass reads, the governor shall take all necessary steps under Massachusetts general law and all other provisions of law or the Constitution and issue all necessary orders to bring about the immediate withdrawal of all Massachusetts National Guard troops subject to his authority from Iraq and their return to or retention within the Commonwealth. So that's what the initiative will do. The idea is to put a binding question on the ballot in Massachusetts on the November 2006 ballot that if it passes will require the governor of Massachusetts to begin the process of bringing home the Massachusetts National Guard troops from Iraq.
This is very exciting to us here because we don't see any exit strategy outlined by the administration. And you submitted this to the Attorney General in Massachusetts. Was it August 2nd?
It was yesterday, August 3rd, is the deadline for filing ballot initiatives in Massachusetts. And we submitted it. There will be a four-week-long process where the Attorney General's office determines if this initiative satisfies the constitutional requirements of a ballot initiative. We're fairly confident that it is legally bulletproof and that the Attorney General will certify it and allow it to go forward to the process of actually collecting the signatures to put it on the ballot.
So by September 1st or so, we'll know whether we have the green light to go ahead. We anticipate this with great hope. And then there's some work to do. What's the next step?
Well, the deadline, the Attorney General will make public his announcement on the 7th of September, which is the first Wednesday in September. Before we talk about the next step, I'd like to talk about the current step, which is the legal certification process, because there's an important point here. As I've discussed this with activists and just with the people that I interact with in my life, a common reaction is, why bother? It's not even constitutional. And the reason that people say that is because they have a perception that the president is the commander-in-chief of all of our armed forces, including the armed forces, including the National Guard that are stationed abroad, and the governor will have no authority under law to recall them. It turns out that interpretation is not correct, and it's not me saying that. It's lawyers who specialize in constitutional law who have said that. The basic idea is that under the federal law, the governor of a state retains the authority to recall his state's National Guard troops from an overseas posting or not send them to an overseas posting if it is determined that the home state needs those troops for a legitimate public purpose at home. And so our argument is that the governor will have the authority to bring the Massachusetts National Guard troops home because there's work for them to do here in Massachusetts. And for that reason, we're confident that this will be constitutional. And when it passes, the governor of Massachusetts will have legal authority begin the procedure of going to the federal government and to the president and requesting that the Massachusetts National Guard troops be brought home. So it's an important point for people to understand because that's going to be the first objection that are raised by opponents is why bother? It's not even legal. Well, it turns out it's very legal and this will have the force of law when it passes.
I wonder if you could explain some of the uses to which the National Guard might be put in an emergency in Massachusetts.
Well, here, you know, the most obvious thing is that one of the issues right now that the country is facing is developing appropriate homeland security procedures to defend ourselves here in cases of to protect against terrorism and to deal, God forbid, with cases of terrorism. That is the natural function of the National Guard among other security forces. And you know the guard that's stationed in Iraq right now are probably, at least in terms of the forces available to the governor of Massachusetts, the best trained in the types of security procedures that they will need to use here in Massachusetts. So that's the most obvious reason why we need the National Guard. Interestingly enough, the first governor, there is a governor in this country, there are a number of governors, but one in particular that has been advocating for a long time to bring the National Guard home from Iraq, and it is interestingly enough the Republican governor of Montana for a while now has been saying that he needs his guys and gals back because they are worried about forest fires in Montana, and the National Guard plays an extremely important role in their local response to dealing with forest fires. And so, interestingly enough, the first very public voice in favor of bringing the National Guard home from Iraq is the Republican governor of Montana.
Harold, I also think about any emergency situation that could occur at our old nuclear reactor in Vernon, Vermont. People local would have a better understanding of roads and evacuation routes, and of course a much greater than the 10-mile radius
Absolutely.
Is likely to be needing to be evacuated if there were a serious accident at the Vernon reactor.
Absolutely. I mean, the whole point of the National Guard is that it's a force that is local to the community that it is helping to protect, and it has knowledge of the community that it's helping to protect. It's a key point for people to understand. I'm going to continue to stress this: is that under federal law, the governor of a state has the authority to bring home National Guard troops or to not send them if he can legitimately demonstrate a domestic need. And so, for that reason, what we're proposing is constitutional. You asked me the question about what happens next. Once the Attorney General certifies the initiative as being valid, which we will know on the 7th of September, we then need to collect signatures of 65,000 registered voters in Massachusetts to place the initiative on the ballot. Typically, when you run a ballot initiative campaign and you need to collect signatures, you typically expect that, for a variety of reasons, about 30% of the signatures that you collect will be invalid. People are not registered, even though they tell you that they are. Their signature is illegible. They somehow sign on a page for the wrong town, what have you. And so our goal is going to be to collect 100,000 signatures so that it will net out to the 70,000, 65,000 signatures that we need. The procedure for doing that, we're going to begin right away organizing a team of volunteers in Massachusetts to collect those signatures. To put that task in perspective, we will be notified on the 7th of September that we're able to do this. We don't get the petitions from the Secretary of State's office, the official petitions, which they will print for us, until the 21st of September. And at that point, we're going to have 9 weeks to collect the signatures. Now, in case people think that 100,000 signatures in 9 weeks is a daunting task, the easiest way to think about it is you can get 100,000 signatures if you have 500 people each committing to collecting 200 signatures. On an issue like this, I've collected signatures for a lot of campaigns, and if you're standing in a place where there's a lot of foot traffic, and this issue will be very popular, so it won't be difficult to get people to sign, you can easily get 10 to 20 signatures an hour in front of a busy grocery store, for example. So if you're looking, if a person commits to collecting 200 signatures, they can easily do that in 10 hours, which is basically a week, 10 hours spread over one weekend. So if we can find 500 people in Massachusetts who are interested in helping this campaign, we can conceivably finish this job in the first weekend of the campaign season. If we find 100 people who are really gung-ho, it'll take us 5 weekends, but still well within the amount of time that we need. And anybody who's familiar with the activist and peace community in Massachusetts knows that it's going to be easy to find at least 100 people who are really committed to this kind of activism.
Harold, I know you're going to find a lot of support among Trap Rock enthusiasts, and we'd love to help gather those people town by town. There are over 300 towns in Massachusetts, so if two people per town will really take this on as their baby for the beautiful season of standing outdoors in the fall, I think that you're going to find so much support. I'm so excited about the help you've given this campaign. Can you tell us about how it went as you talked to activists? What was Brookline Peace Works' response, and how?
Oh, they jumped on this with alacrity. I have to say, I've been involved in organizing a number of ballot initiative campaigns over the last 10 years that I've been doing this, and I have never encountered as easy a group of people to organize as Brookline Peace Works. This came together at the very last minute. I was discussing this. The deadline for filing initiatives was yesterday. The idea for doing this had been floating around for a while, but it only became real about 10 days ago, and so there's very little time to draft the language. And when you submit a ballot initiative in Massachusetts, you need to have at least 10 registered voters who sign the initial submission, and the initiative is submitted on their behalf, as it were. And so a key part is getting, you know, 10 or 15, you typically want about 15 signers to make sure you have a comfortable margin. Somebody put me in touch with Marcia Natowitz, who's involved with Brookline Peace Works. I described the idea to her. She immediately understood the significance of it. She called me back the next day and gave me a list of 13 people, and 2 days later I had all the signatures that I need. I mean, it was remarkably easy to organize this particular group.
Wonderful. I hope that holds true throughout the fall. And I understand that Massachusetts is one of the first states with a deadline for filing a ballot initiative. Which other states have a binding referendum?
There are, including Massachusetts, there are 24 states in the country that have the ballot initiative process. And in a minute, I'm going to read through the list. But an important thing, one of the reasons for doing this campaign here in Massachusetts is, as you said, Massachusetts is the first state, and so as a practical matter, this was the first state with a deadline, so we needed to get something into the process. But there is an opportunity to do this in every state in the country that has a ballot initiative, because what we're proposing is actually constitutional, and people may not have realized that, but we have a formulation that is constitutional. It means that it should be possible to get this on the November 2006 ballot in every state, in every ballot state in the country. And so there's a possibility in November of 2006 for there to be, in effect, a national referendum on whether or not we should bring the National Guard troops and the American soldiers in general back from Iraq. And so there is an opportunity for activists around the country to participate in this campaign. Let me just read very quickly through the ballot initiative states so the people from those states who are listening to this or know people in those states can begin to get involved. In alphabetical order, they are Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Florida, Idaho, Illinois, Maine, Massachusetts, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, South Dakota, Utah, Washington State, and Wyoming.
Those wonderful states. We have friends and colleagues in so many of those states, South Dakota, Ohio, Washington, that we've been working with on the depleted uranium, so-called depleted uranium issue. People with families in Iraq concerned about their troops being poisoned by the radioactive and heavy metal munitions that our government is using, as well as the Brits. So I think you're going to find widespread support for stopping the craziness of this onslaught. I'm not sure we should call it a war. There was, in the beginning, little resistance. We think of a war as something between two warring parties, and I'm afraid that this has been a bit more like a massacre that's turning into a quagmire. Now, back to the issue of the many states, would you be available for questions from people in those states?
Absolutely. I'm very happy to help people think through the process of organizing such a campaign in their state. This is an opportunity to the ballot initiative process is not just an opportunity for voters to initiate their own laws, which it is, but it is an opportunity for voters to vote on issues that are important for them. And this is certainly an issue that deserves an actual vote from the people, how they feel about it. And the process here allows that to happen.
Wonderful. How should people contact you? You're listening to Harold Hubschman.
Well, for the moment, the campaign is still in the process of forming itself. There will be a campaign of activists other than me that are promoting the campaign here in Massachusetts. And as I said, I'm available as a technical consultant on ballot initiative aspects of it. The campaign will be setting up a website and in the next few days, and people can contact the campaign through the website. If anybody is interested in the specific technical aspects of staging a ballot initiative, for the moment, in the absence of having a contact in the campaign here, perhaps they can call you and you can forward them.
We'll be happy to, and we'll be happy to link from our website, traprockpeace.org, and our telephone number, 413-773-7427. Well, in conclusion, Harold, it looks like it will be an interesting fall. We'll be out visiting and speaking with our neighbors on such an important issue. How shall we conclude? Any last words of wisdom on the wonderful initiative of putting a referendum on our ballots?
Well, the ballot initiative process is the most direct form of democracy that exists. Only half of the states in the country have it. The United States is one of the very few countries in the world that have a mechanism for voters to propose their own laws directly without having to go through elected officials. This is our country. These are our laws. We should fight for them. And the ballot initiative process allows us to do that, and it allows people to participate in a very direct way.
Thank you so much. You've been listening to Harold Hubschman of Brookline, Massachusetts. Harold worked for his first referendum on the initiative to remove tolls from the Massachusetts Pike. Tolls were promised to be removed long ago, and I guess four of the exits have the tolls removed out here in western Massachusetts. You probably helped us with that, Harold.
Oh, it didn't hurt.
And thank you so much for your important work.
Thank you, Sunny, for the opportunity to talk about this.